church say amen. Amen. For God is good. And all the time, God is good. I'd like to say good morning to each and every one of you. The scripture this morning was read for your hearing from the 29th chapter of Proverbs, and it was verse number 18. And the Bible says, once again, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again to be able to come out to hear another portion of your word and worship thee in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful this morning, Father, that you opened our sleepy eyelids, propped them open, gave us the ability to raise ourselves up and get ourselves dressed and come from our house to your house. We're thankful, O Lord, that we were blessed that way. And we ask that you continue to bless us as you see fit. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation as well as the members of this congregation. We pray for all families of this congregation. We pray that we might be going forward and not going backwards at any time, O Lord. We pray and ask you, Heavenly Father, to show us the way so that we may follow the way. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to bless the sick and the shut-in this morning, those who have lost loved ones, those who are grieving for the loss of their loved ones. We just pray that you give them strength that they may continue on in the faith. Thank you, O Lord. And Father, we pray and ask you to stop by and visit those who are in their sick beds. We ask that you stop by and touch them with your healing finger, if it be your will. Father, we pray this morning for the ones who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for those who shall continue on from this point on. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you most of all that one day you sent your son Jesus down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We're so grateful and so blessed, O Lord, and sometimes we forget on what we should do and what we should say. But all the blessings that you give us, Lord, we can never repay you for those blessings. So we just continue on saying thank you, Lord. Father, when we have walked the last mile of the way, when it comes time for us to cross over to the other side, we just pray, O Lord, that you be with us and keep us and bring us to that other side, that we may spend time with you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Vision is needed for growth. Many people claim to have visions. Some even claim to be able to see and understand dreams of these visions. The visions I speak of today are one of a spiritual nature. Many of us especially had dreams when we were children, maybe not so much as adults. First, let us understand what a vision is. It is seeing that which is not visible to the naked eye, to the natural eye. A mental picture, a picture of hope. Some people may need to push aside a few things in our lives before we can see what God wants us to see. We may need to bury things like greed, self-centeredness, pride, the love of worldly things, and especially this next one we need to push aside, and give this one a final farewell. That is the pleasing of people in lives of instead of pleasing God. I'll say that one again. It is the need to push aside and give a final farewell that is of pleasing people in lieu of pleasing God. When we learn to please God, things open up for us. When we move me and I out of the way, our eyes open up to reveal godly things instead of earthly things. You know, it's tough sometimes to remove I and me. But we've got to learn to get I and me out of the way in order so that we must see the Lord. The first vision, we must see the Lord. Isaiah was a man with spiritual vision. He had his visions became clear after King Uzziah died. In verse number 1 of Isaiah 6 and 1, he said, I saw the Lord. This is why I told you that we may need to bury things that may be blocking our vision of what God wants us to see. We must see God before we can tell others about him. What good is it for you to tell others of God when we are not as fully concerned of him? We are not fully convinced of him ourselves. As our first morning vision of God should be when we wake up every morning, we should see that God is the one responsible for our sleeping eyelids opening up, and we should thank him. We must know him first in order to convince others of just how good God is. We already know that we can't physically see him today, but look at some who did see him years ago. Moses saw him who is visible according to Hebrews 11 and 27. The disciples saw him in John 20 and 19. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be still. Whenever we need peace in our lives, we just need to see Jesus. In order to grow in our lives, we must see the Lord, as I have already stated, we won't see him physically until that day when Jesus said in Romans 14 and about verse number 11, every knee shall bow to me. We shall all see him then. But instead, we must see him in our minds, in our hearts. How did Isaiah see him? As high and lifted up. This is how we need to see him, so almighty, all-powerful, and holy. When we go back to the text in verse number 18 of Proverbs 29, we see what it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now, we don't live under the law anymore, but thank God for grace and truth. We must learn to see ourselves. We need to see our own selves first before we can fix others. We need to, as Isaiah saw himself, in Isaiah 6 and verse number 5, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, for we all and us all need to take an inventory of ourselves. We need to take an inventory of ourselves and others and take a look at me. What do you mean, preacher, take a look at me? Well, you don't understand how others see you. You've got to come to me in a positive light if you want to teach me about the Word of God. How can you teach me when you don't know it yourself? So I'm saying we need to all get busy in the Word of God. We need to pray and ask God, as the psalmist writer in Psalms 139 and 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. For after all, we are sinners and none of us are perfect. When someone asks the question, are we growing? The best way to answer that is to ask them, have you really saw the Lord? Until one meets God, there is no growth. For one may grow in size and stature, but the heart will not grow until they see themselves. After all, spiritual growth is what we're talking about here this morning. When we people more than we see the Lord, we are beginning to head for failure in our Christian life. When we see circumstances more than we see God, we, like Peter, begin to sink. Whatever is hindering us from seeing God, we need to ask God to remove it, that we may see clear what God wants us to see. How can you know what God wants you to do if you got yourself blocking the way? How can you see what God wants you to do if you are not looking any further than me and I? When we attempt to talk to others about becoming Christians or members of the church, we often get statements like these. I'm already a member of a church. Aren't all churches the same? Or how about this one? I've already been baptized. Or even I'm already as good as most church members, and I would tend to agree with some people when they say that. We have to work out for us all. These are what I call brick wall questions, or where the I syndrome is prevalent. This is when we need to make sure we have seen God, and we must know our limitations, whether we have seen ourselves. Certainly, one who is on the run from God will not be able to help us out. We need strength for ourselves. Do you remember Jonah, how he was on the run from God? He found himself hiding in, not on purpose, but hiding in the belly of a big fish. I tell you something, church, we need to, number one, see God, then we need to see ourselves. And when we see God, we can better see ourselves. We must see a lost and a hurting world. Our vision must include that of the world. In particular, we need to see that the world is hurting. Jesus saw hurting people of his time. In Matthew 9, around 36 and 37, he said, the harvest was plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what are you talking about? Well, I'm just talking about personal and spiritual growth here. Philip saw a helpless world. In Acts 8, 30 through 31, he met a man who was in need of understanding. In order to know Christ, we must learn to see when folks need help. We must try to help them gain an understanding of God and his word. Consider, if we don't offer help to the helpless, who then can they count on for help? If we as Christians can't help them, who then can they count on? We must see a hopeless world. While so many know not Christ, they are without hope. Ephesians 2:13 tells us, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made high in the blood of Jesus. Are made nigh in the blood of Jesus. When one cannot come to Jesus, he cannot have hope, because the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse them. Therefore, they can find hope just as we did when we became Christians. Just as in that verse what I quoted about Matthew 9 and 36, where Christ said the problem is not the harvest, it is with the workers. They are too few. Look at the church this morning. Where are the workers? And you'll see you'll understand what I'm talking about. We must see them through our hearts, the things the Bible wants us to see in order to grow. We need to grow enough. We want to grow enough to tell and teach others what we may already know. As Christians, we should never be afraid nor ashamed to let others know that Christ died for us and was raised again for us, and that he gave his life on that old rugged cross, that he might save us from our sins, and thereby we become heirs to heaven if we obey and live right. You know, that's something we must understand as believers in Christ. We are heirs to heaven's crown, heaven's throne. We can be there with the Lord if we just obey and do his will. Amen. How, you may ask? By seeing the Lord, seeing ourselves, and seeing a lost and a hurting world. Then we can help others to see as well. I've already read for you the text where it says, without vision, where there is no vision, their people are cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now, when we start to get these visions, and remember now, I'm not talking about you seeing something at night that scares you. Those are not the kind of visions I'm talking about. You remember we as children, when we used to have visions and we wake up screaming and our parents come running in the room to see what's wrong? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing the Master. Seeing the Master and understanding what his will is for our lives. What his will is for us. Removing us out of the picture, removing I and me out of the picture, and seeing just what God wants us to see. Now, when I think about it, I know there are a lot of us in here today, perhaps even, that don't understand how the church can move forward without growth. Well, see, if you bring them, we can teach them. But you got to bring them to us in order for us to teach them. And if you bring them to us and we teach them and they refuse to hear our teaching, then it might be time to shake the dust off and keep going. I mean, that's what Christ told the disciples to do. And that's what we must do from time to time. But what I want you to get out of this lesson this morning is that the most important thing, two important things, is that we must see God first. Then we must see ourselves. And seeing ourselves, remember, it helps you remove I and me. I gets in the way of me, and me gets in the way of I all the time. And when we can get those two fellas out of the way, we'll be much better off. And once I finish with my few remarks that I have left, I want you to understand a little bit of a third thing. That God always was and always will be in charge. There's nobody who can take the place of God. And the Bible teaches us that with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. Now, I had a longer message prepared for today, but I'm going to shorten this message up. I just want you to understand those couple of things. And if you can understand those couple of things, then my message doesn't make any difference about the length of it if you understand those two things, seeing God and seeing yourself. And that thirdly, seeing a helpless and a hopeless world. You know, the world is in sad condition. And we as Christians, we can take the forefront in leading this world to come around, if we will. Now, I won't mention any names, but there's one quote-unquote religious group that are having so many problems now. They're having problems with their clergy. And you know something? We need to be out there in the forefront, standing up, if necessary, holding signs that we are the right ones. Come to us. But we can't, some of us can't stand up and hold up a sign saying we are the right one because I'm not the right one, so I can't hold a sign up saying we are the right ones. We've got to get ourselves right first, church. And if we can get us right, then we'll do better off. We'll be much better off. If we can get me and I out of the way, we'll do much better. Now, when I look at this matter of what's going on in the world today, it's not new. Nothing is new under the sun. It's not new because people are killing one another. They've always done that. It's not new because people are harming one another. It's not new because people are breaking in people's homes. It's already occurred, but it's just more of it today. So how do we solve the issue? Well, we need to go out, take a little trip more often. And that trip is to your knees. If you can take a trip to your knees more often, we can ask God to get us through and get us out of what we're in. Because we certainly can't do it by ourselves. We need to remember the word of God and try to teach it to others. We need to remember the word of God when we often ask, God, what is this world coming to? We need to remember and learn to ask God to forgive us for our shortcomings. And when I say our shortcomings, I mean we need to understand that God is still available to us. God is alive and well, church. God is alive and he will be there for us if we need him, when we need him, if we are able to call righteously upon his name. Now, when I say righteous, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I simply mean that if you're right, if your heart is right with God, then you can call upon him. Will God answer your prayer if you're not right? Well, we live under a just God. I can't tell you if God will answer your prayer if you're not right with him. Because he said that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying we need to learn to be right with God. Now, somebody mentioned in their prayer this morning, I believe it was Brother Hall who mentioned while he was singing that we need to get ready because we don't know where or when the time will come. And I know there are some baby caskets out there. There are some longer caskets out there, which tells me that it doesn't make any difference about your age and your size. We all got to face that same fate. It tells me that when the time comes, whether you're ready or not, It's time to go home. Now, I know of one man who asked God to save him and not take him at that time, and you know who it is, Hezekiah. Now, God gave Hezekiah, I believe, 15 more years of time on this earth. But I like how the Bible described that situation with Hezekiah. He said, Hezekiah, the Bible said, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray. He didn't forget his roots, in other words. He began to pray. And God granted him 15 extra years. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but if you're on the brink of death, 15 years means a whole lifetime to you. 15 more years. Hezekiah lived and he had a chance to worship God for 15 more years. And I think about those old pioneers in the Bible, in the Old Testament, those who were in Genesis, in the hall of the walk of the eulogy to those in Genesis, where they lived 900 years. They lived 300 years. But I remember them, I remember thinking to myself, do I really want to live 900 years? Or can I just shorten it up, Lord? Because 900 years means some more pills for me, some more headaches and heartaches and bone aches, some more of not being able to get around as well as you used to. So do you really want that? I know most of us would say, I just want to live as long as I can. Well, we all do. But I don't know if I would want 900 years unless I'm going to continue my walk with God. If I'm going to continue walking with him, that means God moved me out of the way and allowed me to see him. And if you can see God, you can see better on what God wants you to see. And you know, with the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible that God hasn't answered for us already. He's answered everything we face today. You not having any money. There was a lady in the Bible who had a penny and she gave it to the Lord. Do you remember how that when people got in trouble, they often went to God in prayer? And God answered many of their prayers. But I'll ask the question this morning. I'll throw the question out on the floor. Do you talk to God? Don't answer me. But do you talk to God often and enough? Or do you just talk when you're in trouble? No, we're good people for in trouble and calling up on the master. Brother Hall, you know what I'm talking about. How many awakened this morning with a hangover? And the first thing they said was, oh Lord. Many of them, not all of them. So I'm telling you that we know that God is available for us to call upon. Hopefully we'll get an answer. But I'm asking you this morning, just see the Lord first. See yourself secondly. And then see a hurting and a hopeless world, a helpless and a hopeless world. Then we can grow. And if we grow, if I grow and you grow, then we can teach more people about the Lord and we can help the church to grow. Now, there's no reason why all these seats should be empty this morning, because I know everybody has a story to tell about what happened to them a little while ago or so. All they need to do is remember that when the Lord straighten you up, you need to come on and serve him. You need to serve the Lord and you serve him in spirit and in truth. Now, just before I take my seat, I'm going to look at my watch, but this don't mean nothing. This doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to look at it just to help you see me through. See, I need your help to see me through. I need your help because I'm just trying to give you the word of God. And sometimes it takes me a short while. I can do a 15-minute version of a sermon, or I can do a 30-minute version of a sermon. And the more you help me out, the sooner I'll sit down. And the sooner I sit down, the day will be yours and the message will be yours. But nevertheless, I know the Lord is all right with most of us, if not all of us. How do I know? Because I'm looking at you. And I know he blessed you this morning to get up and get here. So I know you're doing all right. I know if you wasn't doing all right, you'd still be at home in the bed or washing your car or doing something. Getting ready, Brother Hill, is it a Bears game today? Oh, well, you'd be getting ready for that then. It might take you a week. But if you were not all right, you wouldn't be here in the service of the Lord. And then when I consider how good God is, sometimes you hear me say that all the time, but just how good is God really? Well, if you heard me, he was good to you. If you heard me say God is good, that means he's good to you. That means he has been good to you at least. And the blessings are still flowing. God has an unlimited supply of blessings for all of us. If we but just do his will, we can receive our blessings. You talking about Christmas presents? God is better than Christmas presents. He'll give you all year long, not just one day out of a year. God will give unto you until your storehouse overflows. What are you talking about, preacher? Good to see the bells with us this morning. God is good enough to continue to let us live. How do you mean that, preacher? I mean it very simply. You didn't cause yourself to live this morning or this day. God did. God woke us up, got us up, lifted us up, put us up, and put us, and we won't fail to put him on. Some of us. Now we worry about things that sometimes don't even matter. Do you remember that little trivial matter that you were so concerned about? And you went to prayer in it, and before you know it, it was worked out. And you didn't even think of it anymore. Some of us don't even remember to thank the Lord for getting us out of that situation. But God is all the time awesome. God will treat us right when we treat him right. But even when we don't treat him right, God is still good to us. Well, I guess I can get ready to take my seat now. I said I'm going to get ready. I didn't say I was already ready. I might have just a little bit more in me. I might have something else I need to say to you. I need to say that you need to open your Bibles more. And don't just open it and flip randomly through the pages. Stop somewhere and start to read and read with an understanding. Pray to God that you get an understanding of what the Word is saying to you. Pick up the telephone And call somebody if you don't understand it. Ask them, well, brother or sister so-and-so, what does this mean? And then read it to them and let them help you decipher it. Now, if you call me, I might not have the answer when you first call me. But you know what I'll tell you? Let me look it up and I'll get back to you. And then when I look it up and I get back to you, I'll have a better understanding of it for myself. Then I can explain it to you. See, I don't want to come up and say, well, I think. Because what I think doesn't mean anything. If it were me, I would say it means, well, see, I don't want to go with that. I want to go with what it really means when the Bible says one thing. Does it mean that I should come up with something else? You know, we've got interpretive versions of the Bible, and the Bible interpreted sometimes is not interpreted right. So we have to do a little more studying and researching sometimes. But when I consider all that the world, all the trouble that the world is in today, I want to know what I'm telling you is right. And I might have to put you off for a little bit and say, I'll call you back. And then I go to my sources and I start looking up and start researching. And then I can figure it out all better for you. Then I can bring you something with some substantiation to it. But God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And as I do finally decide to sit down now, I'm looking at my watch again. It's been 5 minutes since I said that. I told you I was going to get ready to sit down. So I'm ready to sit down now. So how do we come to God, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And the water is ready. Brother Jackson is ready. Are you ready? And if you've already been baptized, and some of us were baptized years and years ago, and some of us may not know why we were baptized, but if you're ready, we will baptize you. If you've already made that decision, but you've walked astray. If you've walked astray, you need to come back to God. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may be washed and be clean again. Now, I've said enough. I'm going to go back up and go to my seat. So it's up to you now.
Love lifted me. Your eyes. 420.